A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then empty too is our preaching, empty too your faith. Then we are also false witnesses to God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are the most pitiable people of all. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The word of the Lord. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. Hear, O Lord, a just suit. Attend to my outcry. Hearken to my prayer from lips without deceit.
Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will.
I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my word. Show your wondrous mercies, O Savior of those who flee from their foes to refuge at your right hand. Hide me in the shadow of your wings, but I in justice shall behold your face. On waking, I shall be content in your presence.
Lord, when your glory
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus journeyed from one town and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12. And some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their resources.
Verbum Domini.
St. Paul is defending the doctrine of the resurrection in our first reading today against those who misunderstood it and those who attacked it. And he emphasizes that our faith hinges on the resurrection, whether the resurrection of Christ is true. If it's not, then we're left without hope. Right? He says, our hope is in vain, we're still in our sins. Christianity is false. The apostles have been preaching a false religion, and thousands upon thousands, millions of Christians throughout the ages have been living a lie. If Christ did not overcome death, then he could not have destroyed sin, because death is a consequence of sin. It's our Lord's victory over death and the resurrection that demonstrates his triumph over the cause of death, which is sin. And Paul himself encountered the risen Christ. He knew that the resurrection was true. The other apostles did as well, as they proclaimed what they had seen and heard and touched, as St. John said in his first epistle. We have seen and heard and touched with our own hands. Right? They encountered the Lord after his resurrection. So we have eyewitness accounts of the apostles as they encountered Christ after he had risen from the dead. And while John was spared from martyrdom himself, he certainly was persecuted and exiled for his faith. But all the rest of the apostles were martyred for the faith. You think, who would die for something they knew was a lie? They died for their faith in the risen Christ. Today we celebrate the memorial of Saints Andrew Kim Taegun, Paul Chong Hassan, and their companions. They also died for their faith in the risen Christ. St. Andrew, St. Paul, and over 100 others were martyred for the faith in Korea between 1839 and 1867. And the faith first reached Korea in the 1700s in a very unique way. Usually we hear of foreign missionaries going into a particular country to evangelize and to spread the faith. But in the case of Korea, it wasn't foreign missionaries that went in, it was books that went in. It was introduced by books, and as Pope John Paul II would say, an intellectual quest for the truth of God's word, right? A hunger for truth. So for centuries, Korea was closed to outside influence as much as they could be. And all contact with foreigners was forbidden, so no missionaries went there. But there were some Koreans who tried to find out all they could about the outside world, what was going on beyond their borders. They did this by taking advantage of their limited contact with China, as they had to pay taxes each year. So it was through this limited contact that some books about Christianity fell into the hands of those who went into China, and that was brought back into Korea. Well, after having read the books on Christianity, one government official on another business trip back to China sought to find one of these Christians who was living this. And by God's providence, he met a bishop in China, and he was instructed in the faith. He was baptized, and he took the Christian name Peter. And so we have the beginning of the first Christian community in Korea as he went back, and the faith began to spread. And it was about 10 years after this that a priest, a Chinese priest, was able to go into Korea, and he was greeted by about 4,000 Christians who had sprung up. That was without any priests directly in China or in Korea before that. It was very difficult for them, however, as they were persecuted, which is a common trait of Christians striving to be faithful. It was very difficult, and many were rejected by their own families. And it was in less than a century that about 10,000 Christians were martyred in Korea. But appeals were made by the Koreans to both China and to Rome for bishops and priests to be sent to them to provide for their spiritual and their sacramental needs. and eventually a bishop and 10 other French missionaries were sent from the Paris Foreign Missions. And they had to keep in hiding during the day due to persecution, and it would be at night that they would go out and provide for the needs of the people. And the first native Korean priest was Andrew Kim Taegun, who again is one of the ones that we celebrate today. His parents had converted to Christianity, and when he himself was 15, he was baptized. And he sensed that call to the priesthood, and he had to travel 1,300 miles into China to be trained in the seminary in Macau. And after his ordination, he returned to Korea, and he helped in the efforts of trying to get as many missionaries in as possible, right, to spread the faith. He had such a zeal for the truth, for the faith, and wanted everyone to come to know Christ. And he'd only been a priest for 13 months before he was arrested and martyred for the faith. And I don't have a direct quote, but I had just too late, it was too close to the beginning of Mass, I just came across, it seems like that a lot of his letters have been translated somewhat recently within the last couple years. And I quickly scanned through it, and they have a letter that he wrote to a bishop about some of his persecution. And he was asked when he was on trial why he's doing this. And he said, why is he following Christ? Why is he a Christian? He said very simply, because it's true, right? The faith is true. It's worth it, right? Our faith is true. That's the only honest reason to be a Catholic. Our faith is true. But he was the first priest martyred in Korea, and he was the first native Korean priest ordained. So among the 103 Korean martyrs that we honor today, I want to mention the account of one of the others, and that is 17-year-old Agatha Yee, who, when she and her younger brother had been arrested, again also for being Catholic, they were lied to. They were told that their parents, who had also been arrested and separated from them, they were told that their parents had denied their faith, and so they survived, right? So that your parents denied the faith, so they're safe. If you deny the faith, you will be safe. And this is what the 17-year-old Agatha said. She said, whether my parents have betrayed or not is their affair. As for us, and she's speaking on behalf of herself and her younger brother, as for us, we cannot betray the Lord of heaven, whom we have always served. And just hearing that response, there were six other Christians, other Catholics that were right there. When they heard this young woman, this 17-year-old, say that, they stood up and they presented themselves to be martyred for the faith, right? They saw the courage, the fortitude of this young woman. And so they presented themselves for martyrdom. Of course, it turned out that Agatha's parents had not denied the faith. They had also remained steadfast, and they're also celebrated as some of the 103 martyrs that we celebrate today. So we ask the intercession of these courageous Korean martyrs as we prayed in the collect of today's Mass, that we may be defended by their help and profit always by their intercession.